Good morning, church. You can find your programs and the notes to be able to follow along this morning. Let me pray for us one more time. Father, I want to thank you as we now enter into the time of the study of your word, that your spirit would bring life and understanding, conviction and encouragement wherever it is needed, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, we've been going through the book of Acts, Luke, and now Acts. And we're in chapter 2, and this is the fourth message in this series. So we're going to be looking at the 42nd to 47th verses in Acts chapter 2. It's titled today, All Together Now. So let's read it together. You'll find it in your program, or you can open up in your Bibles, and I'm going to put it up on the screen here as well in one big verse, or all together on one slide. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So you can notice there's a lot of different colors in the verses, and we're going to look at what those mean and represent as we go through the message today. The last two messages were really focused on the acts of God, the gifts that God has given us, right? We looked at Peter's sermon in chapter 2, the very first sermon that is preached, and he focuses on what God has done. God has done all of these things. God has been at work. Now in these last few verses of chapter 2, the attention is on the disciples and what they are doing, right? It says they devoted themselves. So now we're focusing on what the church is doing, which again is an example, is a prototype. How should we be acting? And as we look at this, there are a few things, you know, you could always divide them up into the first verse there, the teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. But what I want us to see are the words that are in red and green. Those that are in red and green, because those are describing what they have devoted themselves to. So in verse 42, they devoted themselves continually, and the idea there is a continual dedication to do these things, and then we'll unpack what those things are. And even though fellowship is one of the first things mentioned, teaching into fellowship, the word itself, which if you know Greek and you've heard it, the word koinonia, which is a very, it's one of those words that can have a lot of different understandings in our language, right? Fellowship, kind of, we have a fellowship, but we call it an activity center, but you know, remember when it was called the fellowship hall? We would get together and we would have meals and gatherings and have fellowship. Well, the word there has to do with being in common, having things in common, sharing things together, and has to do with social interaction. That's why we call it a fellowship hall. But it means having things in common and sharing, partaking together. So look at how many times the word or a similar word is used in these few verses. They devoted themselves to fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together and they ate together. So in these verses, the key idea here, and you can see in your notes that there are eight different points, and it says they blank together. Because the key idea here is that they were devoting themselves to do these things and to do these things together. And that together part is very, very important. I was realizing this week that a few of the things that, you know, the Lord reveals to you and connections you hadn't made before. And I thought about the Tower of Babel, right? When the Lord confused the languages, the moment in history when different languages came into play, because here in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. They go out into the street and begin to preach in what? Different languages. But the same message. And the purpose that God confuses their language in Genesis is because they were in a humanistic attitude and purpose, wanting to build things for themselves. And God says, I'm going to have to confuse their languages. And now in the gospel, we see a common language or a common message. When they got up and preached that morning, I realized, now, our morning or afternoon, whatever time of the day was, when they got up and they preached, and I realized, you know, on that first Sunday or that first sermon that he preached, there were no Reformed theologians, no Calvinists and Arminians, no Baptist or Alliance or Nazarene or Presbyterian or Methodist. It was just the church. We were just Christians. They were just believers. And they had one message. So even though there's value and we understand the and appreciate the values that we have in the different denominations, what we have to understand is that there is one Lord, one gospel, one message, one truth that we need to be proclaiming, and we need to do it together. So that's the key idea here. So for us as Syracuse Alliance Church, we need to be thinking, how do we preach in as one body? Well, what are the things they devoted themselves to doing? Well, the first one, it says they met together. They would meet together. So they gathered together continually. They would meet together. In the temple, it says, and in homes. They would gather every day, continually meeting in the temple and in home. So in the temple was the corporate, it would be like our Sunday morning service. And they would meet in, they would meet and gather in homes as well. And so there was the corporate worship. There was the corporate time to come together. But it wasn't just in church. It was in homes. And one of the key reasons we see this, I want you to think through every single one of these, is that everything they're doing, remember, the church is the body of Christ. It is the family of God. Right? When you become a follower of Jesus, you are a part of the family of God. That's the metaphor that is used. We are his children. He is our father. So all of these things are things that a family would do together. Right? So my family, we go to church and then we go home and we eat together. So as a family, as a part of the family of God, they would gather in the temple. They would gather regularly, but they would also gather in their homes. And a lot of times in the temple, in our church service, there's the instruction. There's the exaltation of Christ and the instruction right from the platform or the pulpit to the people. But in the home, there's sharing. In the homes, it allows for conversation. It allows for what did God say to you today, and multiple sharing and ministering one to the other. You know, the Word of God says, "And do not neglect the gathering, the coming together." Before COVID, before the pandemic, we would talk about meeting together, and we would use verses, or not use verses, but we would teach verses. Like that verse that says, do not neglect the congregating, the gathering, as some are accustomed to do so. We would do that in the past to encourage people not to miss church. But now it's taken on an entirely different meaning. Don't neglect. In a few chapters, we're going to see where Peter and John are told by the leaders of the Jewish community in the Sanhedrin, they are no longer to speak in the name of Jesus. I would assume that that also meant you are no longer to gather in the name of Jesus. And just this week, many of you are familiar with Pastor John MacArthur from California. And they've continued to gather. The California has not allowed for them to meet the way they have been meeting. They haven't been following all the social guidelines, which I don't agree with. I think it's important to do that. However, the judge ruled an order this week forbidding them today, so we'll see what happens today, but forbidding them from gathering and meeting. And this this benefit or this blessing that we have as a people to meet together. I think right now we need to be praying and understanding. There is a moment, there's a need to gather safely. But we need to be praying that we don't lose our freedom to meet all together. They met together regularly. They devoted themselves to this. See, that's the idea. They devoted themselves to meeting together. Then they also devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So they learned together, right? They met together, and what was some of the stuff they did when they were together? They would learn together. They gathered together to listen to the apostles' teachings. And that's why it's so important. You know, it's good to be self-learned or self-taught or to teach yourself things, to be self-educated or to be a continual student. But in the church, we're supposed to learn together. And the apostles would teach. Now, remember, there was no New Testament. The Bible you have is divided into the Old Testament and the New Testament. When they met in these early days, there was no New Testament. It was just to listen to the apostles teaching about what the Old Testament said about Jesus and how Jesus, now his teaching, they were relating to them. This is what Jesus taught. This is what he instructed. This is how we are to apply it and live it out in our lives. So they would gather together and learn together from what the apostles were teaching them about what Jesus had said. So that's why we gather together. What is it that Jesus has said? We need to learn and grow in his word. And when someone is saved, that's the word it keeps using here, those who are being saved, right? Another way of describe it biblically is to be born, what? Again. Right? To be born again. And a child, a human being, is continually learning. And we understand that as children. We want our children to continually be learning. The idea is when we become a Christian, when we come into the body of Christ, the family of God, we need to be continually learning and learning together, one from the other, right? Children learn from their parents. They learn from their peers. They learn from others. So we need to be learning together. And they not only met together, they learned together, they socialized together. Right, that part of the idea of fellowship is social interaction. So we could say they not only prayed together, but they played together. This is real human interaction that was going on. It wasn't just religious. It wasn't just they'd go to the temple and in each of their own homes. They would socialize together. They would gather together. They would interact socially. They would be at their child's birthday parties together, their child's graduations together. They were a family. So these are things that a family would do together. We've all seen these images, right? Not only images, we've seen them in real life where we're at a restaurant and sometimes, you know, we can put ourselves in the picture. Sometimes we look up and we see another table and we realize that we're doing the same thing. We're sitting around a table, but we're not interacting with the people that are right in front of us. We have students that go on mission trips. They go out of the country, and they're there to work with children in that country and do VBS with those children in that country and share Christ with the people in that country, but they're more focused on talking and texting and with those that are in the United States instead of those children that are right there in front of them. But here's the thing. You know, we talk about being, you know, how many followers we have, how many likes we have. And I know that we are losing the ability to actually be likable or to know what does it mean or what does it take to be liked by a real human being. Not just by someone, not just to post something people like, but to actually be liked. And the only way you can do that is to be socially interacting, is to actually look at people in the eyes, to be close enough to them, to talk to them, to speak with them. And that's part of what, you know, the whole pandemic and the social distancing. What has it taught us as a church? the inability to gather together? What is it revealed? What is it brought up? What is it revealed or taught you about yourself and your connection with the church? They met together, they learned together, they socialized together, they ate together. It says that they broke bread. It says that twice, verse 42. They the apostles teaching to fellowship to the breaking of bread. And then in verse 46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together. So there's two ideas here that are being communicated. One is communion, or what we would call the Lord's Supper, right? Communion, which we celebrated last week. But it specifically is, remember, communion, they normally celebrated it in this time as a meal. And when it got to that point in the meal, they would break bread and they would remember what Jesus had said to them. And they would celebrate that event and the significance of that event. But they did it around the table. They would eat together. There's something, again, this is what families do. They ate together. It wasn't just the communion service, but it was a time of eating. That's why, you know, one of our favorite holidays, I think for most of us, is Thanksgiving. It's not just the meal, but it's the family around the table. In the Old Testament, there were many offerings that the Lord required of them to bring. There were guilt offerings, there were burnt offerings. One of them was the fellowship offering. And of all the offerings, it was the only one where they were to share the meal with others. They were to invite others to sit with them and eat the meal. All the others would be offered to the priest, but this one was to be shared with others. It was a fellowship offering. And the fellowship, that offering is mentioned about 80 times in the Old Testament. And have you noticed in the Old Testament how important meals are? The festivals, the Passover, they were all centered not only around sacrifices, but around meals. So they would eat together. So they met together, learned together, socialized together. They ate together and they prayed together. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Now, we all know, there's the home and there's the temple. We all are supposed to have our own individual personal relationships with Christ. We are all supposed to be praying and in the Word, learning and praying on our own, but we are supposed to also do that together. Jim Cimbala, in a book, you've probably may have heard of it, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, incredibly inspiring, motivating, convicting, encouraging book. And it has to do with prayer. He's telling his story about how he, as a young pastor, was burned out. He's the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle in Brooklyn, New York. And he was burned out. He had to take a time of a leave of absence. He was ready to quit. And he heard the Lord say, go back and make prayer and the prayer meeting the priority in the church. Make it the most important meeting. And he came back on that Sunday and he said to the church, from now on, the prayer meeting is going to be a priority. It's going to be the most important meeting of the week. Now, he's saying this because the Lord has said it to him, but he said that day there was a visitor in the church. And the visitor asked for permission if he could speak. So he raised his hand and he let this visitor speak. And the visitor said, I heard what your pastor said. And the visitor said, you can tell how popular the preacher is by how many people attend the service on Sunday. You can tell how popular or how good or how interested the people are in the teacher by how many attend their Sunday school class. And you can tell how popular, how interested the people are in God and hearing from him by how many attend the prayer meeting. And in most of our churches, the prayer meeting is probably one of the smallest attended meetings of the week. They devoted themselves to prayer, which is what Jesus taught them with his life. That, remember, we talked about the rhythms of prayer. He continually was going and separating himself to be alone with his Father, but then he was also including them at times to be in those prayer times. So he did both. He lived a life of private prayer, but then he also, as a discipler, he wanted to teach them how to do what he did and what he had with the Father. So he devoted himself, and they devoted themselves to prayer. So they met together, they learned together, they socialized, they ate together, they prayed together. Number six, they shared together. They shared together. This is kind of radical, right? Verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So they gave, they shared. What's mine is yours. Sometimes we, you know, with Christy normally has gum in her purse. And so I had some and I ran out. And so every once in a while I'll say, can I have some gum? And she says, don't you have any of your own? You know, sometimes it's harder for us to even share a little stick of gum. It's mine. I mean, don't we kind of grow up with that? It's mine. And the gospel, the life of Christ, is not one of hoarding or keeping, but isn't it one of giving away? Isn't it one of saying, I pour out my life. Seeing everything that we have, I've been trying to understand and see things like my house is my house. It's the Lord's house. It's a resource. My car, it's the Lord's. It's everything that I have is a resource that I can now give back to the Lord and say, Lord, let me use this for you. So they shared together and gave. And yesterday, you know, yesterday was an incredible day. I made that announcement video before yesterday. Otherwise, I would have put some of the pictures from yesterday. And we had 45 or so people here yesterday helping for hours. And it was encouraging. It was great to see. I mean, we only got, you know, with reopening, we only got about 100 or so that have come back so far. So almost half of the church, with one day of announcing it, showed up yesterday and helped. So that's encouraging. And we did that because now we have all of these supplies that now we can give and share and help others with. So they shared together. They also praised together. Right, so they did it, they ate together, and with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. So again, the difference here between prayer is the praising. It's what we were doing. It's what Tinny did as he prayed. He didn't just pray. Before he prayed, he praised. Right? He said, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. It wasn't just, Lord, we beseech you, we ask you, but it was we exalt you, we praise you. And they would praise together. It's the idea of, again, of testimony, of sharing with one another, of thanking God for what he has done, and praising together. In other words, you know, I can praise God and thank God personally, but there's the encouraging, life-giving when we praise him corporately. We share with one another what God has done. And on Sunday night, last Wednesday night at prayer meeting, I believe we did that. We were saying, okay, how we opened up that way. What has God done? What do you want to praise the Lord for? And they witnessed, the last one here, they witnessed together. Now, God had commanded them to go and be witnesses. And even though it doesn't say that they witnessed, it says in verse 47, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we know that how can they be saved, right, in Romans, unless they are told, unless someone tells them. So we know that if they are being saved daily, it's because they are going out daily in obedience to the Lord and witnessing together, all of them. See, witnessing and sharing is not a one-person thing. And we talked about that with the prayer walk. We were processing that a little bit this last week with some of those that have gone. And you know, Christy, I said, well, Christy, how did it go? And she's like, it was good. It was easy because I was with Linda, with Mary Lynn, and she would just stop and talk to everyone. It made it easier for Christy to be with Linda. So going out and witnessing together, right? We go together. We share who Jesus is. So these are the things that they did, right? They devoted themselves to these eight things, and we need to be devoting ourselves to these eight things as well. But I also want, and I'm going to have this to hand to you on your way out, but you can find this on our website, but I want you to have it in your hands. We prayed over this and through this on Wednesday evening. It's our vision or our mission statement as a church. I'm going to put it up here for you on the screen as well. Because, see, if we are saying, if we, Lord, this is what we believe you have called us to be as a church. I realized last week, it can't just be words on the website. If this is what we believe that God is calling us, if we're going to call this our mission, then these are the things that we need to be devoting ourselves to. So we believe that, we describe ourselves as a multi-ethnic family, transforming our community through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our vision for the church, our vision for Syracuse Alliance Church, is described in these words. We are together with Christ, making disciples for Syracuse and the world. And those words mean radical community. Right, the together. And that's what we see in the book of Acts in chapter 2, radical community. They shared what they had to give to those who were in need. They had everything in common. So we strive to experience and to practice radical community in our church. And because of the way, the individualized American spirit, we have to fight to kind of create this or to preserve this radical community, to not be individualistic, to not be, I don't want to share, I don't want to open up. A lot of times we see this because they'll call and the office and they'll say, well, I have this need or this prayer request, and then we'll ask, well, can we share your request? I really don't want it to be shared. I don't want it to be open up to everyone else. And so how can we as a family be there for one another, support one another, and trust one another if we aren't opening up with one another and saying, these are my struggles? So we want to experience radical community. We want to have spiritual passion, right? We are together with Christ. We have spiritual passion. We want to be with him more than anything else. David puts it so well, right? I long to be in your presence. Better is one day in your house, right, than 1,000 elsewhere. Spiritual passion, not religious, but relational or real. We want to strive for missional purpose, making disciples for Syracuse and the world, or in Syracuse and the world. So you see how that means. So we need to be, if this is what God is calling us to do, this is something we not only need to be doing, but we need to be praying. Lord, help us to be radical, to practice radical community. Help us to have spiritual passion, to be on fire for you. Missional purpose. That's why our prayer meeting is so important. So we're doing all of these things, but we need to do them and continually be in prayer to ask, Lord, help us to be this church. And then our vision, so that's our vision for Syracuse Alliance Church. We want to have radical community, spiritual passion, missional purpose, and for the city of Syracuse, right? What is our vision for Syracuse? It says this on our website. Our vision is to see the transforming power of God overcome hopelessness with hope, poverty with prosperity, addiction with freedom, and violence with love. All right, we see, here's the vision part. Here we see, we dream of a community that is full of hope. From our children to our seniors. Parents hopeful for the opportunities their children can have. Children in the next generation hopeful for their future and hopeful because Christ is in their lives. We see a community that is prospering spiritually, relationally, economically. We see a people living in freedom from sin and bondage. We see a community that is defined by love. So this is who we are. So the disciples gathered, they devoted themselves to these things in Acts chapter 2, and we need to do the same thing. So we gather and we say, okay, Lord, we want to devote ourselves to seeing these realities, these hopes, these dreams happen here. If we want to see people saved, if we want to see hope, if we want to see love, if we want to see prosperity, if we want to see people free, then we need to devote ourselves to seeing that happen. It's, do you guys understand? You're with me, right? It's not going to happen because we wrote it down and put it on the website. It's not going to do it. It's only going to happen if we say, okay, we're writing down the things that we are dedicated to seeing God do. And it starts with prayer. It's maintained and sustained through prayer. But then there's that verse in James that says, but don't be just hearers of the word, but be what? Doers. So that's where we say, okay, pray and then act. So I think we should spend a few moments praying to conclude and just asking the Lord to make this a reality. So I'll just leave these. Let's pray through all of these that are on your notes. They're on the screen. So Father, we want to pray in Jesus' name. And Walt, would you just come and play some nice background music for us? Thank you, Walt. Father, we want to pray in Jesus' name together. That's the first prayer, that we would be together, united, one body. And that we would meet together, that we would prioritize meeting together. We pray for your protection because of the pandemic, and we thank you, Lord, you have protected us. And we want to pray, Lord, that we would also, you would protect our freedom to meet together. I think many times, Father, we have heard people say, you know, our freedoms can be taken away. But it just seemed like it was just so crazy that it would ever really happen. And not that it's happening yet, but Lord, I can see how quickly what we have today could be gone tomorrow. So Lord, protect, we pray, in our country, our freedom, our ability to gather and worship as a protected right. Father, we pray that we would learn together. We would learn together, which means we learn from one another. It's a beautiful picture of the young learning from the old and the new believer learning from the seasoned saint. Learning how to pray by listening to others pray. Just like children mimic and copy their parents. We learn to pray, we copy, we observe, we model those who know. And Father, if we have the gift of teaching, if we have something to share and we are not sharing it, we have not shared it, we've kept our love and our faith for you kind of to ourselves, Father, forgive us, help us to, in Jesus' name, teach what we have learned, to pass on that knowledge. Father, we pray that we would play together also, we would socialize, we would interact, that we wouldn't lose the fun of the gospel, the joy of the gospel, the joy of being a part of your family. Lord, we're just realizing that's what we're going to do with the Sidewalk Chalk event. It's going to be a time for us to play together, to have fun together, and to eat together. Lord, we want to devote ourselves to this. We pray, Father, that we as a church will We'll pray together. And that, Lord, that would be a constant call, a constant reminder that we would never lose the importance and the foundation of prayer. And that in our prayer lives and corporately, we would hear you, you would speak, it would be evident like it has been on Wednesday evenings that you are there and guiding and leading us. Father, we want to share together. All that we have is yours. We want to praise you together. Lift up our voice, declaring the wonders of God and how you've blessed us. We want to witness together. And Father, we want specifically for us to be a radical community united in Christ with spiritual passion and zeal for Christ. That it would be obvious. People would see us. They would see us. They would hear us. Just like, Lord, I know I've gotten excited about a movie or a restaurant, and when I talk about it, it's obvious that I really like that restaurant or that dish. I want people to hear me talk about you and immediately know this man loves Jesus. I want that to be true of our whole church, and I want to pray, Father, that we would be focused on the purpose and the mission of making disciples in the church, in the community. So we'll see a city full of hope, people prospering in the gospel, in their families, in their relationships, in their careers. See people free from the hurts and the pain and the bondage of sin. And see a community, and I don't just mean the church, but a community defined by love. So Lord, help us, we pray these things, not just words on a screen, but it's our mission. Help us, Lord, to devote ourselves to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.